members of staff here to support this meeting this evening, as well as Commissioners Bevins, Darby, Catmull is on our Zoom format for the time being, but will join us in person shortly, and Commissioner Gedge. So we have enough to proceed with our meeting this afternoon. We'd like to welcome those that have come this evening as applicants and citizens of the community, and we welcome you and appreciate your participation in our proceedings. Our first item of business this evening is to approve our agenda as published. I'm ready for motion.
Madam Chair, I move to approve this evening's agenda as published.
Thank you. I will second that motion. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Our next item of business is to approve our minutes from our meeting 2 weeks ago. Has everybody had an opportunity to review those? Any corrections? Okay. I'm ready for a motion then.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from the February 14th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting.
Okay, we have a motion. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Any opposed? Great. Staff, do you have any business for us this evening?
Well, one thing, but maybe we could, you might want to wait till after the meeting. It's just you sent Steve Schaefer-Meyer the list of topics for your joint meeting, and he liked the way you put the first one. He would like to want to know if we could have some more discussion, more explanation of the other three, particularly what do you want to talk about conditional use permits, what about conditional use permits do you want to know, and so they can be better prepared with the council at the time.
Okay.
So maybe if you wanted to postpone this item until after the regular public hearings, and then we can provide that.
I'm amenable to that. We can make sure that we visit that under other business. So just to clarify what was meant by those.
So the short-term rentals in the city, historic designations, and conditional use permits. So
okay.
A little bit more.
All right.
Clarification. Thank you.
Any other business from staff?
I don't think so.
That's okay. Planning Commission. Commissioner Gedge, let's start with your report from last week.
So I luckily signed up for the shortest Snow city day. Council agenda in history. There was one published agenda item like tonight, and it was over the streetscape master plan that we had discussed the week before, or our last meeting.
Okay.
So the council did adopt it. The staff did bring up how there was some Planning Commission discussion around 2200 West. So that basically what they asked, what was Planning Commission's input, and basically they said there was a lot of discussion about 2200 West.
Can't look like that.
Yes. So, Great. So that did pass. So that was the only agenda item. However, at the end of the meeting, during the staff reports, they did bring up, of course, the legislative session. I don't know if this will be part of the combined meeting next week. But they did mention that I guess there is a bill regarding micro schools, and I'm not sure if that's passed or not. But it kind of relates to the daycare we heard last meeting, where schools, basically, if this passes, are permitted basically by state in neighborhoods. And I can't remember how many pupils, but similarly to basically the daycare. But these are micro schools that would be allowed. And so if that did pass, that would be an item that we could have at the end of other business as well, maybe. A legislative update would be timely because the legislation or session will have ended by Tuesday. So hopefully we'll have more insight. And then just in the study session, they did go over the, I don't know if you guys took the survey with Y2 Analytics regarding city services. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Planning Commission or planning staff caught this, but sadly, I think we got the lowest mark, 65%. But that's because I think they blame us for like parking at daybreak and things like that. And so.
Oh, us personally?
Well, yeah. So that was so
by name.
By name.
No.
I was teaming up with the planning staff that, you know, when they got that mark, we got it as well. And so they did present that, but the city services on there, but they did have a little bit of discussion about that. And they said that's why, because of traffic, even though it's not really planning, they, you know, kind of blamed all of that. And that was it. So very short meeting.
And that's true. Every year, planning comes in last and all the time, the lowest approval rating. And mainly, and when we see why they get their comments, it's seldom planning issues. It's usually engineering and other departments, but planning gets the blame because there's no such thing as an engineering commission either that makes any decisions. It's the planning commission. So join the club of unpopular.
All right.
That's why I had my video turned off, because I would have been seeing me crying during the study session.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Planning Commission members, anything else? Okay. Then, well, let's get down to business. We have one item under our administrative public hearings, the Brimhall Estate Detached Garage Conditional Use Permit, and Amir has our staff report.
Thank you. I'll just switch this. So it's a conditional use permit. The property is located at 11229 South Alisa. Is it Alisa or?
Alisa.
Yeah, Alisa Meadow Drive. As you can see, it's a bit to the west of Riverfront Parkway and just a bit to the north of 114 South. It's in the Parkway Palisades subdivision. The property is zoned R-1.8. As you can see on this map, it's about a third of an acre. And here's the proposed site plan. As you can see, the new detached garage is proposed to be located in the southeast corner of the property, about 12 feet away from the east and the same distance from the south property line. And it would be about 35 to 40 feet away from the north property line. These are the building elevations. As you can see, it's about 23 feet in height. It's a bit lower than the main dwelling. And here's the proposed main floor plan. As you can see down on the bottom, there's an ADU that consists of a bedroom, restroom, kitchen, so it's a full living unit that can function on its own. So part of the main floor is occupied by the ADU. Then the other part is occupied by a shop. The second floor has some office space and some storage areas. ADU and the storage areas and the second floor are disconnected, so they're not connected in any way. So they're separate units. Both the main floor and the upper floor, I think they're about 1,200 square. Yeah, they're about 1,200 square feet. Everything meets the city requirements except for the second story window. So the ADU fits within the city regulations. They don't need a permit from the Planning Commission for the ADU. The only thing that they're here for is the second floor window that faces north. The window does not face nearest property lines to the south or the east, and hence staff has no concerns with the proposed window, and we recommend approval of the application.
Okay, thank you, Demir. Yep. Commissioners, are there questions for staff?
Yeah, I have a couple. So, Demir, I know you mentioned in your report that even though we're not reviewing an ADU, the first floor, the second floor is disconnected. Mm-hmm. In the event that the second floor was to become an ADU, or would they have to go through a separate application? And if so, would two separate ADUs be allowed on a singular building?
No, they can only have one ADU per property.
Right. And just to confirm, if it wasn't for the second floor window, it wouldn't require CUP and would just have been handled right. Administratively.
Right.
Great. Thank you. Right. That's all I have.
Samir, will you remind me what the rules are? Is it just the fact that it's within 20 feet of the property line? It's never based on how close it is to the next residence?
Yeah, just the property line.
Okay.
And it's just the second story. If they had no windows in the second story, then, again, they wouldn't have to be here.
And I assume that it can't be frosted because it's attached to a porch, and so that isn't the intent. It's intended to have the ability to have access and open.
Do you want to clarify that?
So is it solely the window, or is it the extra set of French doors?
Any kind of opening in a wall. Could be a door, could be a window, could be anything.
Okay.
Anything you can see out of.
Do we have anything about balconies? Mm-mm. Okay.
We don't.
So could they have, in theory, a balcony with no second story access to it, but like a staircase from below, and that would meet our rules with no...
That's a good question. I'm not sure that it's ever come up, so I'm not sure. I think it will be up to the planning director to make that decision?
You're not the planning director, right? I'm just curious. If they had brought you this balcony with an external set of stairs, would it have come to us?
I guess you could make an argument either way that it functions as an opening because you can stand up on the second floor and see over into somebody's mm-hmm. yard. So I guess you can make that argument and maybe, yeah, we would take it, bring it back here. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's all I had for now. Anything down here? Steven? No? Okay. So if the applicant is here, we'll invite you to add anything you'd like to the staff report. Following that, we will have a public comment. And so if you've come to join us this evening to speak to this issue, we just ask that you state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission. After public comment, we'll get any questions that come up answered by staff before we make a decision. So are you the applicant?
Oh.
Anyone is welcome if you would like to add to the staff report, if you've got any clarifications.
Well, they probably have better answers as far as the use of the ADU.
Yeah, if you need, I'm happy to answer any questions. Demir did a great job of telling kind of what we're doing, and that's about it.
Okay,
we just wanted to be here to make sure if you needed anything, we could provide it.
Okay. We're going to do the public comment, and then we probably will have questions for you.
Perfect.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'll invite you to come to the podium at this time. If you're online, we'll offer you the same opportunity. I don't think anybody in the auditorium is separate from the applicant, so let's go to our online platform. Would either of you like to add any comment to our public comment? Okay, I'm getting indications of no. So we're going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, I actually do have questions for the applicant, so if you don't mind coming back forward, would you state your name and where you reside for our records?
My name is Nate Brimhall.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about what you plan to use this space for, specifically the second story?
The second story will be mostly just storage. We have, so the ADU would be for like a mother-in-law. The garage is the main purpose for this originally, which is a studio for my art. And that's really about it.
And so the common area on the second floor, what is?
On the second floor?
Mm-hmm.
We've Christmas storage. It can be an office space for ideas for other areas. We're not planning on making that into anything other than that.
Okay.
I think originally that was an idea, but that once you realize that's not an option, it's like, okay, we don't need that.
And so are the balcony and the window and the doors a holdover from that, or do they add functionality to that space for you?
I think more than anything, it's just light. You know, nobody wants to go into a space that's just closed. The balcony itself is more of a cover for the unit below.
Commissioners, other questions? Okay, I assume that neighbors were noticed within a certain distance?
Yes, they were.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, discussion.
I like when things are easy.
Yeah, if you put out the window, I mean, we're not even got to us, so it's pretty, and it's not facing directly at adjoining residents. So
I do want to make sure I know what direction it's going. So they said north is the side that has the window. So am I understanding right, it's this direction?
And you're pointing to the top of the
window. I'm pointing to the north.
Yeah, the window issue is it's more than 20 feet away from the north property line. However, because of the position of the window on that, it's within 20 feet of the east property line, even though it doesn't look
but
that
not
way.
Facing the east. Okay, thank you. That helps a lot.
Which one is it on the elevations? Is it this left elevation?
Lower right.
Yeah, the left elevation.
Okay. Sorry, that's really small. And to go, just for me to make sure I'm clear, it's facing toward Park Palisade Drive. You might need to go to this.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I move that the Planning Commission approve application PLCUP 2023-00003 to allow for a construction of a detached accessory building with a north-facing second-story window.
Okay, we have a motion, and I am sorry to do this. I have one more question before we have a second on that. I meant to ask what percent coverage of the property is allowed in this zone, and what would this bring that to?
The coverage...
The allowed is 40%.
40%, but I'm not sure exactly what the coverage is on this one, but it is below 40%. So the footprint of this detached garage, what is the footprint? About 1,500, 1,700?
I want to say 15.
15, and then the house is 25?
I'm seeing 3,000 in the staff report as the footprint and 1,600 for the accessory building footprint. Do you know how big the...
So let's say it's 5,000. The property itself is about 15,000.
Okay. Then it's less than a third.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So we have a motion.
I'll second that motion.
Is there any discussion? Okay, Ms. Valdez, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Cantwell?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. We wish you all the best. Thank you for participating this evening. It does help us very much to have the applicant present so that we can get questions answered. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we don't have anything under legislative public hearings. So under other business, we're going to come back to clarify the topics that we submitted to staff for our session next week. So it sounds like our item about daybreak, communicating with current daybreak residents, as well as what we can do with this new land opportunity, like lessons learned and how to apply those, was our number one. And then what clarification was needed on the other three? I felt like the short-term rentals should be pretty obvious. I'm sure they've been getting calls because I even get calls on that.
I guess, Steve was requesting just so he could go over with the council, you know, or staff, the administrative staff, to determine whether what that would be. So, yeah, short-term rentals probably is, you know, we don't regulate them right now, but are you concerned that we don't and maybe we should be?
Yes.
So yep. that's
especially in
clarification
the
enough about what you want to talk about is you want to have more understanding of why we're not.
They probably have an HOA that will regulate that, but.
To me, it seems especially concerning now that people can build ADUs much more easily.
Yeah, the thing is with the ADUs, they're long-term rental. We don't allow anybody to. So the only way we regulate is they are not allowed to rent out their ADU on short-term basis. So.
How is that regulated?
How do you monitor?
Just by complaint?
Business license?
Yeah, it would probably be by complaint, because if we find out that they're using an ADU for that, because short-term rentals are supposed to be for the entire building or I guess a room. You can rent a room, but you have to either way, short-term rental, either you don't live on the property at all and you're renting the whole place out, or if you're living there, then you're renting a room to somebody.
Wait, so will you say that one more time? You cannot short-term rent an ADU?
No, it's long-term. But 30 days is a minimum. You have to have at least 30-day leases, or at least do 30 days, and that's considered long-term.
But you're saying if it's a room, you can short-term rent that, or you can short-term rent an entire property?
Yeah, and yes, so like Airbnb and so forth like that, you can do it that way.
So... not to put ideas in anyone's mind, but could they skirt that by signing a long-term lease with an LLC, which then short-term leased the property? Because the homeowner has a long-term lease for a year, and then they're subletting it to an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility. Because if the homeowner's requirement is just to have a long-term lease, that's easily solved. You just lease it to an LLC.
Well, the homeowner, I guess, has to live on the property to have an ADU. So they have to be on the property. If they're not there, and there's some other type of a lease going on, but unless they make themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would work.
That's clarify what an ADU is? Is this totally detached?
No, accessory dwelling unit, basement apartments, guest houses like you just approved. Okay. Those are all ADUs, accessory dwelling units.
I wonder if that's well understood by the residents of South Jordan, because it's just in our conversation, it sounds like I could rent the room if it's upstairs, but if I have an ADU downstairs with a bathroom and a kitchenette, I can't do that. And I don't know that most people know that.
If I understand correctly. You can rent it long term, the ADU.
Right. I'm saying
but you couldn't rent the downstairs short term.
Sorry, I'm saying unless you did the whole thing, but a lot of times I think a lot of these we were to look at the Airbnb listings.
Yeah.
If you were to audit the listings,
it's hard to say if some people might be doing that, but they have an affidavit. They sign that they will live on the property, and it will be for long, before their leases for the ADU have to be 30 days or longer, and they sign that and it's recorded. And so if we catch them not doing it, then they lose their ADU permit. And
so if they haven't filed for an ADU, can they rent whatever portion of their house they want on a short-term basis as long as they're there? Can they rent their whole basement?
But I guess they could, because it's, again, short-term rentals we don't regulate. So.
That's what my neighbors have been complaining to me about.
Interesting.
So Airbnb being their basement, and they don't have an ADU on it. So I still would like to talk about short-term, because that is the issue that my neighbors have been complaining about.
Okay. So the city requires second kitchen covenants, right? I don't know if it's called that here in the city. If you have a
second,
you don't
kitchen.
Want an ADU, but you have like a kitchen in your basement, there's some sort of like
you can have second kitchen, and you can have a second kitchen, but if you have ADU is defined as a kitchen, a bathroom, bedroom, and a separate entrance. You have to have all four of those things, or it's not an ADU.
If you have all four of those things, is it automatically?
Automatically ADU. Doesn't matter if you're renting it or not. It's an ADU.
Even if I haven't applied for an ADU, it's considered one.
It's considered one, and, if you've finished your basement without a permit, because that's how we catch them.
Yeah.
So they get a permit, and there's a kitchen, and there's a bathroom, and there's a bedroom, and there's a separate entrance. We will tell them that they have to get we tell them, you need to get an ADU permit first before we'll approve the building permit. And they are allowed in all the single-family residential zones, so it's not hard to get the permit for it, as long as you also have an extra parking space and so forth on site, and your lot is over 6,000 square feet and that kind of thing. All those rules are mandated by the state, so that's what we follow those.
Sure.
And then the other, but if they don't, say they want to do one in Daybreak, which they're not allowed in at now, but they may be in the future, or if their lot is in a zone that's not agricultural or residential that doesn't allow ADUs, then we give them the option either take away the separate entrance. By doing that, they can open up the inside of their house. They'll take all the doors off top and bottom of stairs and remove the door jams and take away any walls that those doors could be attached to. And so that way they can't block it off. They'll have to have free flow inside the house. And so then they can still have the walkout, but there's no way they can block off the inside of their house, or they can take out the kitchen or bathroom or something like that.
This is very enlightening. So if I added a small kitchen to my basement, I would have an ADU. I had no idea.
Oh, so if you...
I have all the other...
You have the other things, so yes, you'd have an ADU.
All right. I learned something today. Thank you. All right, number two.
But you could have one, because you're in the right zone, the residential zone. And so, and the ADU permit is relatively inexpensive. It's, I think, $165 for the ADU permit. And that's... You could have it for that and not have to change anything. Still have your kitchen. You don't have to rent it out. It is an ADU. So.
Okay. All right. I can't remember what number two was.
Historic designation.
Oh, thank you. I think maybe I don't know.
It's on Cemetery Road, I think. We just want clarification, probably, especially where we've had several.
Yeah, that'd probably be more a discussion about what their thought process was and.
Yeah, or what true? Yeah, what is their intent? Since we've had several developments, and there probably is a little bit
there's
more infill
more.
That just you know, to so we're aligned and truly, what is the historical background of a designated historical road with the Pony Express Trail, which we know have been told is not there just. And what's been told to the neighborhood, just
maybe what? Also historical barns. I don't know.
Are there other areas that are designated historical currently, like
historical chicken joints? I don't know.
Are there other areas of the city that are currently designated historical? Then why are they designated that way?
And what does that mean then?
We do have some areas that have historic designation. Well, as their land use is historic. The future land use and current land use. I guess it's around the area of 13th West and South Jordan Parkway. We're on the northeast corner. That whole area,
the whole park.
Where there's the park that's down there, the former church chapel, which is now the home of. The sculptor and his and that's a historic that's on the National Register of Historic Places. The former Mayor McMullen has passed away, but the McMullen family have their office building, that white building. It's on 13th West, just south of South Jordan Parkway. It's an old white office building. It's that's their. I guess original home it was, and it's also on the National Register of Historic Places, and it's designated as historic as well. So,
is that a two-story building with some black detailing?
Yeah, it's a
white.
I don't
know what that is. I just thought it was a home.
No, it's been the McMullen business offices for as long as I've worked here. But so,
and then the last one came from Commissioner Bevins, the conditional use permits. I'll let you clarify.
Go back in my memory. I don't remember why I put it on there.
It might be for our benefit, and maybe it's not appropriate for a joint session, but I know that I would like to better understand when and why conditional use permits are appropriate. And even if we don't discuss it with City Council, I wouldn't mind getting additional training from Mr. Simonson to help us understand when it's appropriate to apply mitigations and how to identify them and to be, and I feel like you've done this training before and you probably are thinking the same thing, but...
I think we have done the training before, but not recently, because the last training we did training on subdivisions. Mm-hmm. And so I would imagine CUPs could be training.
Does City Council ever hear CUPs, or is that exclusively our domain?
It's exclusively our domain.
Okay.
So I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I was curious more as to, I know that if the public disagrees with us, there are some, like, they can take it further and like appeal in the next steps. How, like, what is the next step for somebody who doesn't agree if we
on a CUP or anything? And if
CUPs or anything, really, like, I know there's options out there for them that, like, most people
the
don't.
The appeal process is good, would go to our hearing officer, not to City Council. They're not the they don't hear appeals. We have a hearing officer that hears the appeals, regardless whether they're appealing a like a variance, or they're appealing a code requirement, or if it's a decision you make as a planning commission, that would go to the hearing officer. And if he doesn't overturn yours, then their only option to go from there is to third district court. So,
okay.
Is that right?
That that is correct. And one thing that if... having advised a lot of clients over the years about how they can appeal and challenge the result, the thing you have to remember is that you can't introduce new evidence when it goes before the hearing officer. It all has to have been introduced down below. So if it's not before you...
Are we allowed to introduce evidence?
What's that?
Are we allowed to introduce evidence, or would that be considered a bias?
No, I think that you mean at the Planning Commission, not on the appeal, but on the
during the hearing.
Yes, the answer to that is yes, and I think that you know, you'd want to clearly explain it for the record. We've never, in the time that I've been here at the city, the 2.5 years that I've been here at the city, had somebody seriously come in with the idea that they're going to challenge it. And I used to tell my clients, I said, you're probably not going to win this before the Planning Commission or the City Council, but you need to get all of your evidence in, because you can't introduce anything that you didn't introduce down before. It's nothing new. And so even if it was obscure, can't be presented within the few minutes that you have, I would have them turn in big, fat booklets of evidence, so that when it did get appealed, and it's the same thing if it goes beyond the hearing officer to the court, because you can go even beyond that hearing officer to the court, but you can't be introducing new evidence. And so I would just have them turn in everything they thought that they could ever possibly use. Even if it wasn't read, it was part of the record, and so therefore could be utilized on appeal, or if it went up to the court.
Okay. This is where I wonder sometimes too, where when we've had issues with a variety of opinions or a lot of feedback, that the quality of that evidence that's provided is a lot of
opinions,
feelings and opinions.
We rarely get what I would consider evidence.
And I wonder if somehow we need to, if that's what we want to do, is to help maybe improve the perception of the Planning Commission and all that, is to help them understand, similar to what you were just saying, which was... Even at the beginning of the meeting, right? Like, if you want to have something, we need to have some, you know, we need to have evidence on the record. And that way, if someone was waiting, there's lots of comments, someone could be doing something that they provide. But I think a lot of times they don't, I think they think that we can mostly make a decision based on emotion and feeling. And that if they're strong enough in their feeling and opinions and a number, that we should just side with that.
Could we get a copy of a public notice just to get an idea of what people are told? And do we have any ability to potentially reword it to educate as to what we hope they will bring? Or to explain the administrative, if it meets our codes and ordinances, unless we're presented with documentable evidence.
Or a daybreak development agreement, it can't. I mean,
yeah,
for those types of notices.
Yeah, and then we can give you all of the notices are usually a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
depending on what the application is of its
obviously supporting documents change every
subdivision.
Time.
And I'm pretty sure my notices are a little bit different than the other planners as well. I do put in my notices that if the Planning Commission finds that all, you know, that the city, you know, municipal code requirements are being met, and that the and that if it's a daybreak one, that the daybreak development agreement and other documents, or I can't remember list them, if all those are found to be in compliance, if this project's being in compliance, the Planning Commission will approve.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, you know, you're not allowed to not approve it if it meets all those requirements.
It must not be as strongly worded as you think.
I've only been doing that since, you know, probably maybe like November of last year. And so you probably haven't seen too many people coming in on those. And another thing is that lately they've been out so far west, nobody's getting noticed. So.
All right.
Do they incur an extra cost if they go to the hearing officer?
They have to pay the fee for filing an appeal. There's an appeal fee. So.
And then, of course, if they went farther to third district,
that's all on there too.
Involved there.
Right.
Okay.
So here's something for you to consider. As members of the Planning Commission, you need to have both the appearance and the actuality of an objective decision maker that considers the evidence that's presented before you. Now, you also are citizens of the city, and if there's something that comes up that you are just nauseated by and you just want to oppose it, you have the option, I hope that it wouldn't be exercised often, to say, I'm going to recuse myself as a planning commissioner on this particular item, and I'm going to sit out in the audience as a citizen, and I'm going to present the evidence that I have on this particular item and out and out oppose it. I'd like it if you would maybe talk to me before you did that, just so we all knew and understood what you were doing. But you know, there's been a few things that I'm a citizen of the city too, and there's been a few things in here. I kind of sometimes sit there and think, well, I wish that wouldn't pass, but nobody really has presented any evidence on it that would stop it. But you have that, you know, you have that option if there's something that comes up and that you're really.
Well, and I don't want this to be an adversarial process. I don't want applicants to think that we're out to get them, but I would like the notices to help educate people as to what they need to bring if they're opposed to something more than just their feelings.
I hear you. There's times I wish I could, instead of doing training of the Planning Commission, I could do citizen training.
Well, you've trained 5 citizens. I mean, when I started this process, wouldn't have known, and now I do. But I don't know.
So with the appeals process, is it only the applicant that can appeal, or if a member of the general public who really was against it and we voted for it, could they appeal it at that point?
Anybody can appeal if you feel aggrieved by your they feel okay. aggrieved by your decision. So.
What percentage of people feel aggrieved by us?
35%.
35. Okay.
Yeah. Well, these guys, not really us.
30. It's better than Congress.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
But most of them don't want to pay that. What starts out as an $819 fee to pay the hearing officer, we have to pay him. It goes directly to him. That's his retainer. And then if he's charges by the hour, and if it goes over, they'll have to continue to pay that. The applicant pays for anything he goes over as well. Or he won't issue a decision until he gets the money.
So. You have to really disagree.
In the barn, you're ahead with the second story window.
No, right? What?
On a barn in your neighborhood with a second story window on the historic road.
And I think most people really they're aggrieved, but they really most times they don't appeal because they realize also that it's their feelings and it's not they don't have anything.
Well, they sometimes send me emails letting me know they're never voting for me again, that they're remembering this and they won't make that mistake again.
Did you ask them when they voted for you?
I have a few treasures like that.
Sorry,
I saved them all. All right. Does that offer you the clarification you need?
Yep, that works perfectly. I'll let him. One thing, maybe more, is also: are they ranked in the order? Because they're not going to get to all of them. So
I feel like Daybreak is our top. We're open to whatever the city council wants to discuss. This was just what we're interested in.
Well, I think probably you know that you're interested in those things, in maybe in that order. And if they can get to if they. If they don't have anything else, they can go in the order that you've got it.
Was the short-term rentals right after daybreak?
Yes, short-term rentals was second, and then historic designations, and then conditional use permits for last.
That's the order I prefer.
Take conditional use off.
That's fine.
That we would maybe one of the next strictly planning commission trainings would be conditional use.
Okay.
As well.
Is that the order we want?
And you're also going to there will be some training at this meeting as well, provided by, I think Ryan is going to do training or somebody. I don't know. Steve said there will be training as well, that you'll be getting at least, part of your 4 hours.
So. And that starts at 4:30, is that right?
4:30, yes.
Okay.
In the room behind us?
Right, in the room behind.
Okay, great. Commissioner Darby will not be joining us.
We have a wedding.
So.
First it's Valentine's Day, and now he's
got to
go to work. He asked
right and left.
He asked Mr. Simonson to find him the most boring training video to make up the time.
I can easily do that.
As my penance. I don't know if I said the most boring. I just said, may I have a video?
Property line adjustments off of meets and bounds.
All right. Do we have anything else this evening? If not, then I
move that we adjourn.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.